Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 1039, the Wizard Guitar Tour, my stand-up tour for 2020. It's 2020 now. Guys, we're living in the future, and also in the future is the Wizard Guitar Tour, which is going to a lot of places this year. Columbus, Ohio, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Sacramento, Brea, Portland, Boston, Denver, Bloomington, Indiana, Minneapolis, Austin, Texas, Cleveland, Nashville, Palm Beach, Florida, Miami, Florida, Orlando, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona, and more. So if you go to id10t.com/tour, you can get ticket links for that. I would love to see you. The first dates are at the Columbus, Ohio Funny Bone in January, and at the end of January, Helium in Philly. So come on out and see the Wizard Guitar, my amazing guitar that was painted by my friend Bunny Reese, who's an amazing artist, and you should follow her on Instagram, Bunny Love Rocks, L-U-V. And hopefully we'll see you out there one of these fun dates. But now let's talk about you and the community corkboard for ID10T, like Dennis, who writes, I created a thing. He says, I actually created it 10 years ago. I'm a wedding photographer based in New Jersey, Dennis Pike Photography. I love what I do. I do weddings. I love love. I love taking amazing photos of people in love. And the best part about my job is the people I get to work with. I especially love weddings where a couple does things that is right for them and not because it's tradition. Have your wedding. I would love to shoot more wedding of the nerd and fan community. A special offer. Anyone who mentions ID10T when contacting me will get 10% off everything. I will travel literally anywhere in the world. Seriously, try me. And of course, I am LGBTQ friendly. You can go to @DennisPikePhoto on Instagram or DennisPikePhoto.com or Facebook.com/DennisPikePhotography. Dennis Pike, I love that you love what you do and capturing love. It's important. We had a great, super fun wedding that I feel like was rooted in some traditional stuff, but definitely had the filter of all the stuff we love. I highly recommend it. So thank you, Dennis, for being a part of that. Events@ID10T. Actually, Dennis, that sounded like I was saying you're a part of our wedding. Thank you for being part of making good wedding memories for other people. And I'm sorry we didn't know you back then. Hey, sweetheart, should we get remarried so Dennis could take pictures of our wedding? She nodded yes. I guess we'll do another wedding at some point again in the future. What? We'll renew the vows. Just for Dennis. Keeping it alive for Dennis Pike. All right, this episode is Leanne and Steve Ford, and I was very excited to have them on because I am a huge fan. You know, we watch a lot. Here's what we watch in our house. A lot. These are the channels that we'll just leave on. Investigation Discovery. Now the Travel Channel, because Lydia likes to leave the ghost shows on. And HGTV. Tons of HGTV. As you know, we are amateur home restorers. And there's a show on HGTV which you haven't seen yet. If you haven't seen it yet, it's called Restored by the Fords. And I absolutely love it. Leanne and Steve Ford are brother and sister. And they restore houses. Like, they bring back the kind of historical element that whatever these particular properties want to have. And I love that they preserve the history in that way. And I was super psyched they want to come on. And also, they turned out to be the coolest, funniest people. So Leanne and Steve Ford, Restored by the Fords, is their HGTV show. And they have a new book out called Work in Progress, Unconventional Thoughts on Designing an Extraordinary Life. And it's available wherever books are sold. But we clicked like immediately. And now we're friends. Now we like hang out and stuff. We're going to hang out and stuff. So I was so happy to have them on. Whether or not you like or understand home restoration, we're laughing a ton and doing lots of bits in this episode, but also there's some good, wisdom nuggets in there as well. Actually, when I listened back, I actually wrote a bunch down that, Leanne had some really good ones and Steve too. So here we go. This is the ID10T podcast number 1039 with Leanne and Steve Ford.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
I don't know that you should move their system.
You can move anything you want, Steve. You can get as comfortable as you want. Because the room is tight. This room didn't exist before. It was just a cavity under the house. And so I had them jackhammer through.
You're like, there is a podcast room in there somewhere.
It is.
Somewhere.
It's solid concrete. It's just like the ceiling. It's just like that's everything
great ceiling.
That's in here. Yeah.
Why'd you pick this room of all the rooms you have?
Because I thought it would would feel intimate and contained. And the thing with the podcast is that if a room is too big, it's echoey, and then you have to you have to really sound insulate the shit out of it. And so I just thought, oh, this feels like
a cave.
It just feels like a little cave. Yeah. And there's usually only one person on at a time, and so it's not, you know, like, so I apologize that space is a little bit limited. Just for people listening, I dragged Leanne and Steve all over the property to, like, and then we did this, and then we did this, and...
We like it. We always want the tour.
And we want the tour to continue when we're done.
I know, but it's like that, because I'm a huge fan of your show, but that must be now everywhere you go, people are like... What should I do in my... I have a nook, you know. And you're like, well, I don't know.
The worst part is, though, my brain, as soon as you show me something, a picture or, for us, you know, going in that bathroom, I'm now designing it in my brain.
Of course.
You know, there's no turning back. Like, don't... I'm not looking.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Your brain doesn't know when the clock is... you're not on the clock.
Like, I tell friends, I'm like, you cannot show me the house you might buy. Like, when you purchase it, I will look at it.
And I think to myself, how many walls is Leanne taking out right now in her head?
Or attic. And like, for the record, I don't only take out walls.
Sometimes you add walls.
Yes.
But, you know, my wife and I are amateur restoration hobbyists.
But not amateur. We saw upstairs.
Well, no, but it's one of the reasons why you have one of my favorite shows is because you... So much I feel like of what most people will do to a property is try to modernize it, or they will, you know, like just blow everything out and just have it be open concept, which to a degree is fine. But you really honor the spaces that you bring them back to life. And that is that's my favorite thing to watch.
Well, it's very important to me. These places, I mean, everywhere, but especially for our hometown of Pittsburgh, there's so much history there, and these places are cool. And you know, the owners bought this home for a reason. They thought something was quirky, or they liked something about it. So we go in and I try to find whatever we can keep. Like, that's the first design method, is like, all right, what can we keep? What's special? What's unique? And then go from there. Because at the end of the day, you have to live there. It's 2000 whatever. You know, you need modern amenities, but still it doesn't mean you need to destroy everything.
Right.
So it's not a precious restoration, but it is a kind restoration.
Yeah, and also, just from a humanity aspect, you're sort of preserving a story that when my wife first came to LA probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, there was a house on the market somewhere in the Hollywood Hills, and I think Ginger Rogers lived there. And she said it was the most charming, beautiful. But she said, I wasn't ready to buy a house yet. And then a few years later, it came on the market again, and she went back, and she said she went in and cried because they blew everything out and put in, like, marble. And she was like, you know, like, don't buy an old house if you want a modern house.
Well, that's the worst part, is I feel a duty to save
them. You have homes. To save them, yes.
I know, but and then when you're doing that yourself, it's rather exhausting. So we appreciate that we have clients that are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I like our clients because they bought that house on purpose. Like,
right.
They thought it was weird and interesting, and they weren't scared of it. So
right.
We automatically connect about that. But my problem is I get very emotionally attached to homes and have to save them.
Of course.
And it gets very expensive.
Well, the one thing we run into a lot, it's amazing. A lot of these older homes, I think probably in the 50s, they shrunk the ceilings down and the windows, and they try to make them more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in to do renovations, and all of a sudden we find new windows that were behind walls.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we're like, they shrunk the house, and we get to make it bigger just by finding out in demo.
Drop ceiling.
And then it just evolves.
People love drop ceilings.
I can understand why, you know, listen, in the 50s or the 60s when that aesthetic took over and these types of older homes, particularly like Victorian homes or just old craftsmen or whatever, people were like, it's old and gross.
Right.
Let's just paint everything white and put down linoleum. Linoleum's a fun new thing that we have. But ultimately, like, almost ruining everything in the process because they just didn't care.
Totally. Yes, but, I mean, what are we putting in that in 10 years? We're like, what were we thinking?
You know? Why this. I think this classic, like, the restoration, like, classic homes, classic architecture, will always be in style because it has survived. And again, it tells a story and it's not... I know that there's a little bit of trend with it right now, but it's not trendy in the same way that, you know, you drive around, particularly LA, and they're put up all these glass box buildings. And you're like, these are going to look dumb. And they look dumb now, but they're going to look real dumb in like 10 years.
They look 80s or something.
Yeah.
By the way, 80s is coming back, so no offense to 80s. And like, it's after 70s. That's how it has to go. But that's also why I love to use white paint and it's so timeless. So, you know, as things change and go... If you see a white room or naturals or, you know, it never goes out of style.
Right.
So I do like that. And that's kind of important to me. It's not fail-proof like, or I'd say it's fail-proof, but it's not always. There's certain times when color's more fun or the clients love color or the house, you know, tends to kind of lean towards it. And then you just have to kind of know. Like, actually, your house is a great example. If this place was all white, it'd be boring. Like, it needed all that fun wallpaper and pattern. And,
sure.
You know, so it's just about kind of letting the house tell you what to do.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it, too. But then also not going crazy, because my wife said something that I thought was so insightful, which is, you know, all of our furniture is antique, so we know where all of it came from. And so sometimes, like, our house is a Spanish house, and I'll go, I don't know if we should put this thing in here because it's not really... of the house. And she goes, no. You put in what you like, and that's the connective tissue. It doesn't all have to be, you know, Spanish colonial furniture. Yeah.
Wise woman.
And she's exactly right. And it's like, but finding the balance also of not going too far in one direction. So it doesn't feel like you're in a museum or a showcase house.
Or a catalog.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believe that fully. It's if you put a bunch of pieces you love in your home, you will love your home. And I think that's our kind of biggest thing that I've loved doing for the show, but also in real life, is the more people that love their space, the better the planet is. I mean, it's, you know, if you love your home, you leave your home happier. If there's more people having the community, it goes forward and forward and forward. So as easy as having a pretty space that you're happy with, I mean, it's like, I don't do this very well, but it's like making your bed. You know, these little things that make you feel better at home are such a big deal. So we try to kind of bestow wisdom as much as possible. Like, Steve and I can't come to everyone's house, which... we're so tired, we don't want to, you know, but we can't, you can steal our ideas, you know,
sure.
Like, on my website, on liamford.com, I try to give away as many sources and tips and everything as possible. Because I'm like, it doesn't have to be a secret.
Right.
Take it.
That's great. And it shows that you actually care about what you're doing. I mean, how did HGTV find you? What were you, obviously you had a design business. Obviously you were.
I mean, kind of. I mean, no.
No, really?
Well, so I fixed up this old one room schoolhouse in Pittsburgh. My first house I ever bought, and it was it was already a house, but it was not, hadn't been touched maybe since the 50s. Mm-hmm. And so we fixed it up. Steve helped me fix this place up. Well, our friend, this guy, Peter Barbie from Among Savages is his band. He told his buddy, just this random friend, what we were doing. His buddy was casting for HGTV shows. I mean, it's like friends of friends, right? It's all about the over beers conversations.
Sure.
So they called, and I talked to them for, honestly, years before it happened. And one time they kept on being like, what are you doing? Oh, your style's too cool. Never mind. Like, they come back and forth. They're like, hey, can we? Never mind. You're too, like, you're wearing a fur coat or I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
And I wasn't even a part of the picture.
Steve was just my big brother.
What were you doing at that point?
I was just, whatever came
what
to
were
mind.
You doing, Steve? Kayaking?
What year was that? I mean, I've been through so many different career paths. It's been wild, but like, construction has always been a mainstay. Like, whenever I ran out of money, I just started up in construction again.
Yep.
So, you know, I tried different career paths over and over and over.
So I told them, hey, I work with my big brother if you're interested in that. And they're like, ooh, okay, we'll call you back.
That's a good hook.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, genius. So,
there is a career path where I lived on Leanne's couch and wanted to surf. And ended up framing houses down in Long Beach for 2 years.
So, oh, that's cool.
It was like,
I mean, is that a career path?
That was my career path at the time.
But so they said, yeah. So then we did a pilot. And they're like, okay, just do it how you normally would do it. I'm like, we don't normally do this. You know, we had fixed up two houses. Steve had helped me on both of these homes. And now all of a sudden we were a company, you know, and Steve's a general contractor and I'm an interior designer, and it was totally winging it.
Oh, wow.
It was all about, I always say, I'm like, say yes until you get to say no. So we made it up as we went along, and literally like still making it up as we go along.
That's really incredible, because it also kind of lends itself to sort of what you were saying of just like, well, just kind of going along and seeing whatever happens and being open to possibilities. And now, I mean, it must be so mind-blowing to you that people are like, these pillars of the design build community, these experts. And you're like, all right, I mean, yeah.
Hold on, let me Google it. Well, you know, I think there's it's been fun to kind of see people getting and appreciating our style and aesthetic, because there's a lot of us. There's a lot of people that like cool, interesting design, mm-hmm. that it's not precious, that it's fun and it's easy and it's easygoing.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that there wasn't necessarily enough voices about it yet. So we're just kind of, we're just part of the gang. We just like cool things too.
Yeah. You know?
It's been really fun. I mean, HGTV is such an awesome platform. And it's been really fun to do it with them, you know?
It is one of the remaining, like, destination cable channels that people will actually go. I mean, I do it. You just turn it on at, like, yeah. When I'm traveling, if I'm in a hotel, just turn it on in the morning and just leave it on. And
you don't get stressed out watching it?
Well, the great thing about it is that it's like low stakes drama.
Yeah, totally.
Where you're like, totally. You know, where it's going to commercial.
Yeah.
What's that? There's a pipe in here, and then
he's actually quoting you, Steve.
And then you you're in commercial. You're like, oh my god, is this pipe gonna undo every dream? And they come back and they're like, oh yeah, we just routed around, and it's like you instantly solved.
Right.
It's
right.
Like the call where they go, hi, and they're on speakerphone. We, you know, so we found this pipe, and it's probably something you're gonna do. It's gonna put you $1,500 over budget, and then there's a pause and the dramatic music, and they're like, okay, and you're like, oh fuck, wow, oh god,
okay,
thank God, crisis averted. Like, it's all okay now. They just routed around the thing.
Commercial. It was all done.
In 3 minutes, they solved this whole, like...
Meanwhile, Steve's actually crying in the corner.
Legit, yeah.
I know. We always are like, well, we aren't on Real World. Like, maybe that ages us, but we're like, we're not on Real World where you kind of, the personalities of, like, actually fighting and, you know, being mad at each other. Like, Steve and I have probably got into it maybe really only 2 or 3 times with the camera around, and they thankfully edited it very well.
Oh,
like,
good.
You know what I mean? Like, you could tell we were mad.
Lance made me cry on TV a few times.
I mean, just once or twice. Just once or twice.
Well, you cry from happiness, too, so it's easy to make you cry.
To be fair, yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of types of tears.
It's just total exhaustion.
Yeah, that's true.
How many shows are you doing simultaneously? Like, how many?
I mean, season 2, we did 16... We were pretty much working on 16 projects at once.
All in the same city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's so, like, design and...
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's all Pittsburgh. All so it's like, your design, you start one, and then you build, and then you're building, and then you're installing, and like, yay, we just finished, we revealed it, and now we have to drive to the next location to start the next one. And like,
to be demoing.
Everything starts a week after. It's a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then, you know, these projects that would take 2 years, we're doing in 2 months.
Jesus.
And then we stopped to film. You know, like, I always am like, we have three careers. It's like, oh, I'm a designer, I'm a contractor, I am a stylist and hair and makeup artist in my car, you know?
Yeah.
And then I have to be an on-air personality.
Yep.
To write the script.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. What do you do, Steve?
Just follow you around.
What are you working on during this?
But it's the interesting thing with, you know, construction and contracting is it's so amazing to me that it's not simpler than it is in the sense that I have a really great guy now. I have a guy, he's amazing and he's great and he's efficient and he shows up and he's not, you know, oppressively expensive. But it is funny that, exactly, because people come in and it always blows my mind when it's always the, why do they do this? I don't know. I'm not your contract. I'm not an electrician. Well, this is too close to this and I don't know why the last person, well, can you fix it? Sure, I guess. And then someone else come in. Why did that guy do that? I don't know. He said the last guy fucked. I have no idea.
I know. It's all about the last person.
But you would assume, like, isn't this standardized? Like, isn't there...
You know what? And that's the thing is we try to do our best for our clients. But, you know, it's like a house is a moving thing. A house is a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
Right? So just like how we have to cut our nails and our hair and stuff. These houses are never ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the project is never, ever ending.
Yeah, and especially when you're working with old houses,
yeah.
You just don't, like, 40% of the picture is what you can see, and the rest of it is, like, when you open up those walls.
Not even.
Who knows?
Leanne gets upset all the time because it's like, we open up a wall, and all of a sudden, there goes the budget on that, and she had this bigger idea of how we were going to use that money.
Right.
And we're like, now we're stuck spending it on something that no one's going to see.
Right. Yeah. You're fixing a problem that you didn't know was there.
Steve's like, we're going to need to double insulate. I was like, no, we need a chandelier. You know, like, we're going to need a single insulate.
I've never said double insulate.
Yeah, just that once. We're going to need more insulation. I'm like, how much insulation do we need?
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's what happens when you give Grammarly to your entire team. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
So are you? So you're shooting all these shows. Are you managing like 16 teams of construction teams, or is it?
I don't even know if I want to get into that.
I mean, it just sounds like. I mean,
it's you want to see him cry?
It's yeah. I went from a group of like basically six guys I worked with on a regular basis to just a whole lot of people.
Right.
And a lot have come and a lot have gone, and now it's down to like a trusted handful of people again and.
In fact, you're a contractor. Ask him if he wants to
put it. Is your guy available?
He sounds great.
Sounds great. Yeah. He's, yeah. No, yeah. I can't lose him.
It's because when you find somebody like that's good, they're usually really busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to keep somebody that's good around.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys that are just not very good.
But when you, it's, there's also, I'm kind of interested to sort of talk about like the balance of, happiness versus like getting what you want. Obviously this path has been great. I assume it has been great for you both, but it's also like that thing of like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, I used to just sleep on my sister's couch, but now like things are booming, but what's the quality of my like life and my mind and my mental health and my physical health? And you know, like what's the trade-off and what's what, you know,
sleep, a lot less sleep. I mean, the last couple of years, it's been like 4 hours of sleep a night when we're filming.
Yeah.
Because we film and then we work and then I stay and work all night and then I go to sleep and we film work. It's just the whole time. That's what it's like.
The problem with being good at your job is you get more work.
Right. So. And you're not, and it's also difficult to, most people when they start succeeding don't go, no, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck, I should probably do that.
Yeah, we're, in fact, we kind of need to figure that out. And it's kind of about being with projects, right? It's like, okay, we need to maybe take on less and give them more time. Or, you know, quality of life is so majorly important to me. I'm a freelancer. I've been a freelancer my whole life. And I always, I wanted a job that allowed for a nice life. The opposite, you know what I mean? Like I never wanted my job to be my life.
Right.
So when it really shows up is when your job could be your life. You know, like when you're young and you get a job now and then, you're like, oh, I can go travel. You know? And then when you have to say no to work to like sleep and travel.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's when you know that you really believe what you said about quality of life. You know?
Do either of you have kids?
I do.
Oh, that's a whole other.
I know. And the whole season two, I was pregnant the whole time. So we're doing 16 houses while I'm literally found out I was pregnant to 7 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, she thought that was hard.
Excuse me. Wait, what? I'm sorry. What's your... Are you relating to pregnancy?
This is an area we're not allowed to. That's a no-fly zone.
I know.
Once she found out that she was pregnant, things got a lot better.
It
all came back around.
That's like my husband. We had friends over, and I'm so big. I'm about 9 months pregnant, and he's sitting there with the glass of wine. He's like, "Pregnancy's been easy." I was like, "Has it, honey?" Like the whole everyone stopped. Like I was like, "Er?" Like, I'm so glad.
Yeah, people talk about how hard it is, but honestly, I feel fine.
Yeah, he's like, "I feel great." He still apologizes for that. He's like, "I cannot believe I said that." It's like, it's so funny.
You know, guys, we say dumb things.
I know.
It's just part of what we do.
He defended it and said that he appreciated that I was an easy pregnant lady, which Steve
good
said
save.
Too.
I
know.
What I said too.
Steve said I was happier.
It was just once
no
you
demo.
Found out what was going on with you.
Okay. Okay. Conversations you don't want to have with your brother.
No, this is part of the dynamic.
I'll tell you what. The reason I was happier is I didn't have to do demo anymore because I hate doing demo with Steve. I hate it. And I have to do it.
What do you hate about it?
He's terrifying. Like, the sledgehammer flying around. He has no idea I'm in the room. You know, like, I'm supposed to get over there and help.
Yeah.
And it's the worst day. It's the worst.
It can be aggressive.
But also, if you're pregnant, don't you show up in a hazmat suit?
Because why I liked being pregnant.
Oh.
And a baby. And I got a baby.
And you got a baby. There's a, you know, propagation of life. All that stuff. Yeah. But also,
no demo.
Really helped with the demo days.
No demo.
Really took the edge off
painting.
That too.
If you look, actually, there's like my belly's in it a lot, but also I have the massive the mask.
Yep.
The big one.
Yep.
That's like episode 1 and 2 is a little dinky one if I put it on. Episode 3 is like iconic.
Episode 4, she's just gone.
I'm sitting over in the other room.
You just start faking pregnancies. Just like
exactly.
Fake pregnancy. Sorry, guys, I'd love to go in there,
exactly.
But I just
get another baby.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, that was a good move. That was good timing.
So it's this idea where you are open to things and you say yes to things. At what point do you start having to say no to things? And at what point, like, what's the sort of end game? Is it just to see how far this all goes? Is it to, you know, have furniture lines? Is it, like, what is it?
No end game.
No,
I mean, it's just, honestly, we're just holding on for dear life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this whole path, the TV show is proof of it, of we just kind of, as it comes, you know, take it as it comes and decide as it comes. Like, we hardly watch TV, let alone planned on being on TV.
Sure.
You know, so... But then as you become more successful, it's all about, you know, saying no to good so you can say yes to great.
Oh, that's a great quote. No, I've never heard that. And that's a good quote. Well, you just said it.
I did just say it. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, of kind of being more conscious of what you are saying yes to, because what happens is when you're too busy, now you're missing these things you really wanted to do. Like
right.
For me is actually I just want to go hang out with Ever, mm-hmm. my daughter, you know, so... but I think we're doing a good job at that. Steve still
I'm working
chills.
Into that. It's been, I mean, with the break between season, it's been a little bit of I needed a break.
Yeah.
And like, I'm still trying to, I've always had to make a living. So I was doing whatever it was going to pay me to make a living.
Yeah.
You know, and then now we're still doing that, but I get to do more, like I like to make furniture or build, like I'm building a motorcycle right now and that kind of thing. But now I have a little bit of time in between a show. And once we start the show again, that'll all go away. And
yeah, but then there's also, imagine there's probably also a little bit of the, you know, someone might be leaning over your shoulder going, you know, you design furniture. Maybe you should build some. And then it's when you start turning, because it's good to turn your passions into,
right.
It's good and bad to turn your passions into your work because you're passionate. You put more time into it. They're more authentic things you're putting into the world. And the bad side is like, well, then it's not just for you anymore, really.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which is different.
It makes it different because then people are like, oh, I know this was for you, but can you make it a little bit? And then you start compromising. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, now this is work.
Right.
Now I need to find a new hobby to take me away.
Totally.
You know,
you have to be really careful about it, especially in a creative field. Right. So for me, this is creation. Like, I just like making stuff
mm-hmm.
in any form. You know what I mean? And as a designer, it's just about the house is your canvas right now. And that's why you want to do another one. And once over, you want to do another one. But as you create, it's just about kind of staying true to creating what you love in that form. So, like, I'll probably turn into a ceramicist, and after that, a painter, you know, songwriter. Like, and I think that just as especially speaking from creative path, is our path is so crooked and messy. Like I always say, it's like a bowl of spaghetti. Like
mm-hmm.
People see us on TV and they think, oh, their path to success was this straight upward line.
Yeah.
And for us, it's like up and down and back again and around and oops. And, you know, we have our book, the Work in Progress book, that is out this week. And we talk about it. It's like we failed so many times, things that didn't work, getting fired. I mean, blowing it left and right, which got us to this point. So why don't people calm down about knowing they don't have to know what they're going to do in 10 years. And, you know, we are evolving, and that's okay.
But it is also the illusion of safety, the illusion of certainty.
Yeah.
And so it is easy to get hung up on what's going to happen in 10 years because you want to feel. And the great comical part is it doesn't matter how well you plan 10
right.
years from now.
Right.
Life is going to go whatever. You just have to figure out how to hold on and not go crazy.
Yeah, like like God laughs when you're making plans.
Of course.
But then the problem is people, which I mean, I guess I don't have this brain to understand it, but the problem is people, they stay in the safe route And then 20 years from now, they look back and they're like, oh man, I should have filled in the blank. You know, I wish I would have. And I'm like, just do it. Do it. Do it now. Like, try to be a photographer. Realize you're bad at it. Okay, check it off the list. Don't have to worry about it anymore.
But that's what I love. That's what I love about your show, because that is, that vibe about you feels like, you know, we're doing this show now. If we weren't doing it in 5 years, we'd still be fine. Like, it doesn't, it just feels like you do it because you love it and not necessarily that it's a mega machine that you're building. And the mega machines are fine. I have a lot of friends who do the mega machines.
We are not the mega machine.
And they're great. But it also, you know, it just, it feels very much like, ah, this is great. This is a fun thing that we're doing for now.
Well, it's funny. We're doing,
Is it, Liam?
Is it getting
it wasn't until my brother signed off.
I was like, man, I really messed up bringing him into this. No, I mean, but it was, we're doing a show called Rock the Block, which is on HGTV right now, and it's four designer women, and then we have like our plus one, and Steve's my plus one on this for, but we're all doing the same house however we want. Mm-hmm. So these other women who I love, it's been so much fun. It's Allison, Victoria, and Jasmine Roth, and Mina Starziak-Hawk, and me. And they're so competitive, and they're so stressed out. And it'll show scenes of them all angsty, and then it'll flash to Steve and I, like, putting the light on our heads, you know, like doing.
Is everyone doing a different room?
We're all doing a different house on the same block.
Oh, a different house on the same block.
And they're all new houses. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like, it's a blank slate. So it's funny. And I was like, Steve, see, he's like, he didn't realize how chill I was until he saw how anxious people can get about design, you know,
in comparison.
Right. Well, of course, because it's, you know, the stakes are high.
Don't let that go to your head, Leah. Jeez.
Okay, I like how chill is the only compliment you've ever given me, and it can't go to my head.
Hear Leanne saying, Steve, is that she feels misunderstood by her use of the word chill. And
I like that.
This is what we need. We need some therapy.
Steve, you need to stop saying you and saying I feel that.
I've tried that.
Wait, you seem to know about that line.
I feel that's very aggressive, Leanne.
I feel that you've heard that before.
I feel that you might be trying to put me in a box.
That's how I start most of my texts. I feel.
You're right. Your texts are sup.
I feel sup.
Yeah, he's like sup. I'm like, sup with you.
But that, you know, that idea is sort of, I think, the gold standard for living, which is just like, plan enough, but, you know, not. And that's also funny because not being obsessive about those kind of details is slightly antithetical to, you do kind of have to get a little obsessive with details when you are restoring something, though, don't you, in a way, or no?
I mean, we're bad examples of that, I think. I guess there's a, I just think it's an easy, you know, it's not precious, right? I think design is not precious. It's easygoing. It's like, throw your shoes off or keep them on, you know? And I feel like a home should feel that way. And I'm really into imperfect. Like, if you like perfection, do not hire us.
Right.
You know, we like imperfect and interesting and special. And
something that feels like it's been lived in.
Yeah. And if it's messed up, like if that floor is messed up and it came that way, we're keeping it. That's better than a brand new floor.
I 1,000% agree.
And you have to, it's just about being like kind of connected as a designer and as a contractor with your client, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we leave. So we make this cool house and at the end of the day we leave. So they have to love it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about them and it's more about the house than us. But it's dating. You all have to like kind of be simpatico already.
Right.
Yeah.
But the idea that it's so specifically themed around restoration, when you, by the time you come in, people have already made the agreement of, whereas on sometimes on other shows, it really is just sort of a blank slate.
Totally.
And it's like, it is really fun to watch, especially the non-hosted shows, like the, when they're trying to find the House Hunters.
I don't know why I didn't just say that. I was like, he's going to talk about House Hunters. People love House Hunters.
Well, it's interesting because and all the other shows too, sometimes my wife and I will watch and just sort of make the comments like, this couple's not going to make it, you know? Because you sort of see, and I think that's sort of the other like unspoken layer of the shows is, you know, when a husband comes in and he's like, yeah, so this is going to be like a man cave and I'll put like an 80 inch and then I like really modern. And the wife's like, no.
Not happening.
And I like classical. And, you know, it, yes, of course, like the type of house you live in doesn't necessarily have to define your relationship. However, you kind of see at a fundamental level of like, well, they can't even agree on the process, the style, like what it should be.
And there's a camera there. So imagine if the camera's not there. That's what blows my mind.
And this is their best behavior.
This is their best behavior. And I always am like, design is probably 50% couples counseling. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's probably 50% couples counseling.
I am lucky because my wife and I have the exact same aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
Exact same aesthetic.
And if you want to sleep in the same temperature and if you have the same design aesthetic, I think you really have a long...
It didn't really occur to me that, you know, like when we moved in together and then people were like, oh, does your wife like all your weird shit? And I'm like, no, she has all the same weird... We just have double the amount of weird shit. And they're like, you have no idea how lucky you are. And I thought, I was like, oh my, I guess I was taking that for granted. Of course.
Yeah. Making you throw it away.
And I'm not And so it's that idea that, that people would actually fight about like, oh, that shouldn't. And you want this in the... And that does really affect your relationship because your home is like your... That's where your roots are, you know?
It's funny, too, even being on TV. Like, so Steve and I are glad we're brother and sister because if we're annoyed or, you know, you can feel the tension on camera, you're brother and sister. Nobody cares. You know? They're like, oh, yeah, working with
They're
your
siblings. They're just siblings, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, when you see a couple on camera and they're tense, you're analyzing it fully.
Oh, my God. And it's just, you're just mapping out all the microaggressions. And like,
microaggressions.
Yeah, yeah. Where you can just, and I'm sure some of them are like edited, you know. Yeah. It is docuseries. And so it's, you know, they're shooting a ton, they're creating storylines. But still, like, you can tell, like, when a husband, like, throws a snarky, like, yeah, well, we'll see about that. And you're like, oh boy. Oh, that's not.
It's like usually about throw pillows on the bed, I feel like.
And it's not really about the throw pillows.
It's never about the throw pillows.
But it's about something else that they never resolve.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know?
It's never about the throw pillows.
I mean, you're not allowed to eye roll your wife or husband. That's not.
Don't do that.
But that's what I do.
And then you have to stay with them for the night. I'm just happy to leave at the end of every day.
Yeah, Steve and I are like, see ya. Everyone's like, how do you guys get along? We're like, we live in different houses.
And also, again, you're siblings. Yeah. And so it is like sometimes you're going to agree and sometimes you're not going
to
agree.
We're used to that.
Yeah, but the stakes aren't like, it's not like you're not going to be brother and sister anymore.
Right.
Whereas like some of these couples, you're like,
right.
Oh, I give this like 3 months.
Totally. Yeah. So we're glad to like, that we can stay out of that. And plus people, I think either have a sibling and get it or they want a sibling. And,
right.
And they like, so they like watching the sibling dynamic.
But on a restoration show, again, the people who are living there have already made the agreement that they want the place restored or they wouldn't be on a show called Restored by the foot, you know, like.
But we also have said no to taking on projects if we could tell that they're trying to save their relationship.
Oh my God, I never thought about that.
So like we'll go in and we meet them and we see the place and there's a couple reasons we'll say no. Like if the budget's not enough to actually make an impact or if the budget's too high and they're going to overprice their house, that's not a good, you know, spot for them to be in. Yeah. Or if they don't like each other.
Right.
Because we're like, whatever we do, you're not going to like it. Like we're not going to help with what the problem is.
Because you don't like each other.
Yeah.
You have to like each other and then you can love your home.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so true. We're like, we can only help this so far. We can only go so far.
This, we can restore the house. This relationship.
Yes.
Might.
Actually, season 3.
Be careful what you say here.
I know. We're like, all of a sudden, we're going to have a therapy show, but we'll bring you in to be like, and I'm hearing you're saying.
I know, but it is sort of funny that just like, hey, maybe some relationships should just be condemned. Yeah. Maybe they just are beyond repair. Maybe there's no amount of, you know, William Morris wallpaper that you can slap up on this relationship, you know?
No amount of white paint and texture will save us.
I don't know. White paint might save us. White paint might save us.
It does. I do. Maybe it does because I do think a lot of our spaces are a lot more relaxing, and they're like that you feel like you're in a spa sometimes. Mm, when we're done.
That's good.
So maybe it does help them.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I do like, though, I'm not someone that likes watching Discord. I don't, and I know that's very big for docuseries, and HGTV not so much, and I'm not asking you to comment on any other show. I'm just sharing that when Tarek and Christina came back after they split up, it was uncomfortable for me to watch because it's like, oh, I don't want to watch people like kind of like snarl at each other. That, and so I said to someone that had worked, you know, that worked for one of the family of networks, I was like, did the show like tank after that? Because they weren't, and they were like, no, it's people. And I go,
people liked
really?
It.
Like I just like watching people get along.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
yeah.
You're rare. I think,
I think so. Like when we watch, but, when Lenny and I watch Naked and Afraid, I hate when people like go at each other. It's like, work together.
Why are you watching that one?
Have you ever watched it? Oh my God.
No.
If you want to talk about like human dynamics, people being thrust into crisis, watching their true character be revealed, it's fascinating. And what a show like that even more so tells you is that when you strip all the other stuff away, who are people and how do they succeed? And also, like, the most chest-beady, like, braggadocious, douchey guys always tap out before the 20... They spend 21 days naked and afraid.
Are they not allowed to make clothes out of, like, leaves?
They can make clothes out of leaves. They just can't bring them. They can only bring one item. And it's usually...
I've never seen anyone make any clothes. Just,
they make clothes. They make
they
shoes.
They walk around with a blur the whole time.
They make shoes. They'll make loincloths. They make... And
I'm so confused.
You find that the people who are sort of chill, the way that you're talking about, tend to do the best, as opposed to the people who are trying to control everything. And so I don't like it when people...
Ain't that life, though.
It is, but it's very hard to remember that because everything feels so... Like, the stakes of everything in life feel so high.
Yeah.
And I feel like now more than ever, people are trying to control their own little bubble.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta keep it loose.
For death situations.
Right.
What? Yeah. Are you still talking about the show or life?
You know, they could get gored by a wild boar or eaten or throat ripped out by a cheetah.
And they could get a splinter in their bum.
I'm telling you, but honestly, like, that could fuck them up in a way that they would have to get pulled off the show if it gets infected. I know you don't have time to watch TV. Give the show a chance. It's fascinating.
I'm not watching that.
It's fascinating.
I'm definitely not watching that show, you two.
It is fascinating.
That is why I like HGTV, is the drama is it's so minimal. Like, when I would watch Disney movies, I would fast forward through the scary part.
Right.
You know, like when the dad dies in Lion King. Like, okay, right. I know he dies. Let's just get on to
spoiler. No, I'm kidding.
Let's get on to the next, the good song, you know? I don't like it as entertainment. That's why HGTV was so fun. It's like the paint came wrong. The paint color came wrong.
Right.
The pipe.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's all going to be fine.
But it's all, in 20 minutes, it's fine.
Luckily, no houses have collapsed yet.
You know what I have to... You know what I have to say, though, is our producer, Mary Beth Anderson, who's so awesome, she said, I like to think about, you know, in every hospital room in America, they're watching HGTV.
Right.
And she's like, they're like, they just need an escape. They need something fun and easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe a giggle along the way. And that's what we're providing.
I think it's healthy to watch people getting along because it also says, like, you know, at a time where people can be so polarized and, you know, this again, the stakes are so like, if you don't 100% agree with me, you're a piece of shit, you know, and now like having people like watch people get along, I think is vital, you know, like teamwork,
good collaboration,
good feelings, you know,
totally. And like, it doesn't have to be anxious. Not everything has to be angsty and stressful and oh no.
And actually, like, that's one of my favorite parts. Like Mary Beth and Vince and Mike and Hannah, like we have, that's our crew.
That's our crew.
And Leanne and I, and then all our construction people, of course, and designing. But we have a good time.
Yeah, we like
a fun time making the show. It's like, I like to go to work every day.
Like, if they're showing us joking on TV, we're not actually joking to each other. We're joking to, like, Vince behind the camera.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I'm not trying to make Steve laugh. I'm trying to make Vince laugh.
Yeah.
So, and then this season, they showed us talking to the camera a lot, which was surprising, because usually I think, like, all right, if we're looking at the camera, they're cutting it.
Right.
And they didn't. We're like, okay, noted. Don't say anything you don't want on camera. Yeah. You know, because now it's like all the fourth wall is down.
Oh, good. Well, that's good, it's though, fun. Because I think it also, like, television watchers are savvy now. They know that there's a camera crew right. there. They know there's a sound guy. They know, right. you know. So why not kind of, that to me is fun, because it also just, like, you're watching the process of the house, but you're also, like, watching the process of the process of the house.
The process of the process.
Yeah.
I know. And then we are, like, we have been this kind of ode to the 80s, 90s, I feel like. Like, all our jokes go back to, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Of course.
Or Three Amigos, yep. you know. Or, like, we were just talking everything Bob Barker and The Price is Right. So we are, all these jokes we're doing that kind of go to that are staying in the show.
I love all those references, and we are also, like, film memorabilia collectors, and I managed to acquire Steve Martin's Amigo pants.
No.
From Three
Where
Amigos.
Are they?
They're at our house.
No.
And yes, they fit me. Just, I'm sure that was the next question.
You
anyway.
Acquired Steve Martin's Amigos
pants? A guy knew that we collected, you know, like film, like, props and stuff, and he was like, I have... I, he was
He's like, you got me a sweater?
he managed to have Steve, Chevy Chase's and Steve Martin's pants, and I was like, well, I'll take Steve's and...
Chevy's, no thanks.
Well, cause I felt like I only needed one pair.
Maybe they'll fit me.
You know?
Wait, are the other ones available?
No, the other ones got sold to, like, a bar... Who it was like a Three Amigos themed bar or something, and
where's
so
that?
I don't know actually.
We it, were on their soundstage today.
Oh, what we think was their set.
Right.
We were doing the Amigos salute.
The salute.
Yeah, we just filmed it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, so I'm sorry I don't have that here, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to present
Stuff
them.
Like, how do you show pants?
The scarecrows.
Do I put them in a big shadow box? Do I put them on a mannequin? Like,
do
I
you wear them?
I mean, yeah, but
then you get a cardboard cutout and have the cardboard cutout.
I just wish I had more. I just wish I had the rest of the outfit. I just have the pants. I don't know where I don't know where anything else is, or the hat, or anything else.
Yeah, where is it?
You'll be searching for it.
Who knows?
We always, like, we know we like someone if we'll do a reference to Three Amigos and they'll get it.
And
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we'll be out on set, and that probably the first time it happened even on our show, we were saying something to each
plethora.
Other, and then, like...
Plethora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like, were like, what'd you say about plethora of paint? Like, we said something to each other, kind of giggled, and then Vince, our DP, he just finished the scene. We're like, oh, we knew we loved you. We knew it. Yeah, so we have all the same humor. Like, when you grow up in the same house, you watch the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how we're simpatico ourselves, I think.
Well, also, I think, you know, now that HGTV's been on for so long, I think they really are like, oh, we need to cultivate the personalities because it...
Yeah. They're ready to rumble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the more people watch your shows, the more they want to get to know you and the more they fall in love with you guys. And so...
Let's hope so.
Yeah. And so, because you really do become like... You know, like their pals, like their friends. You're their guides in this world, and so I think that's important. But it's what's the sort of arc of the book? Was it your journey up to the show, or
yeah? So we wrote this book. It's called Work in Progress because, you know, you're doing a memoir ish, and you're like 30s, 40s. So it's hopefully if all goes well, this is just the beginning of our story.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of, it's about how we got into HGTV. The story of that is there, but also just about like how our path of creativity has gotten us to where we are and not being afraid to fail. And we had this amazing childhood. I think our parents always kind of inspired us to do whatever, try whatever. And we weren't afraid of messing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, messing up is inevitable. It's just going to happen, and that's okay. So we talk about that, because my biggest thing is how to kind of inspire people to live happier and easier and relax, you know, enjoy it.
That's really good advice, and it's simple advice, and it's advice that's easy to forget.
Right.
Because I think especially as we get older and, you know, you want to sort of...
know where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of like, oh, because there's like three or four things that I want to do, but I'm overthinking. I go, well, oh, if I do this, then and if that doesn't work, then I've wasted all that time in that direction. And then I don't know if I can backpedal.
Yeah.
And then I've wasted a bunch of time just even thinking about
which
it.
Which is a waste of time to say it's a waste of time, right? Like it got you where you are. The path is so messy. And what if we just accept that and we're good with it, yeah. right? But I mean,
you can easily talk yourself out of things.
Yeah.
You know, the more you think about it and the more you let like other people interject in what you want to do, it's easy to get talked out of trying something or being who you want to be at the end of the day. So it's like, sometimes you just have to go for it.
Yeah. And it is, there's a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck that I've talked about a lot on the mm-hmm. podcast. And that's kind of the idea. It's like, well, things are messy. Mm-hmm. So if you accept that, then you can't.
Isn't it like when you get hit by a car, if you know it's coming, you tense up and then it hurts more? And
yeah, if you're in a car, and if you
don't know it's coming, you're like, can relax.
Then you're totally fine. You do a double flip, you land on your feet, and you walk off like
exactly.
a cat.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like so that's about life. Just like don't tense up before you get hit by the car. So if you will get hit by the car.
You know, so if this podcast is in your AirPods and you're crossing the street not paying attention and you see a car coming, just go limp.
Just go limp. Yeah. But look up.
Yeah.
I mean,
disclaimer, do not accept advice. Exactly. This does not count as legal.
We are designers. Yeah. But I mean, that I feel like there's a chapter in the book that says ignore everyone, which is literally including us. Like everyone will give you advice on trends. Everybody will give you advice. Everyone will comment on social media. Ignore them, you know, and just do what feels right and good to you. And it sounds so normal, and people need to hear it over and over again. It's very important to me. I feel like, you know, Julia Child didn't even know she could cook until she was 36 years old. Like mm-hmm. Van Gogh didn't pick up a paintbrush till he's in his 20s. Robert Frost didn't become in his 80s that people started caring.
Yeah.
Frank Lloyd Wright, Falling Water, he was retired, he came back from
it. And again, that's also like, you know, that's also about being like result oriented and trying to control the result of something. But what would you say to people who would go, okay, yes, that's all well and good. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know. I have no idea. And I think that's
not either.
That, you know, but you just do stuff.
Just do.
I just do. And then I just do my best at whatever it is that I'm doing. And hopefully so far it seems to be working for me.
And it also evolves a lot, you know, like mm-hmm. I was in fashion, which turned into fixing up a house, which turned into people calling me and said, hey, will you design my house? So I called my friend Danny. I was like, how do I design a house? Like, how do I be an interior designer? You know, like, I just kind of, it always is this never-ending evolution. So what happens is we go to college and we're supposed to pick our major and that's supposed to be what we do.
Right.
I mean, I'm totally like preaching sounds to the boring. Choir with you. You have 17 jobs that you do, you know, like you haven't chosen, you do
one
them all.
One of those, which is, by the way, is my current life goal, is to be a voiceover on a Lego movie.
Oh my God, that's so funny that you know that. Oh my God,
That's
my
life goal. It was pretty cool, I gotta be honest.
As of like when I watched that movie, I was like, this is the best job ever.
It is pretty fun.
Chris, now you know.
That is spectacular.
Oh man, I looked up every one of those voices. I was like, I don't know who those people are.
I mean, you know, honestly, of all the people that they should let do a cameo in a Lego movie, it should be a builder. It should be a fucking builder.
I hope they're listening right now.
I mean, come on. Come on.
Oh my gosh.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what if that parlays you into your next career?
Like voiceover superstar.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Steve was an extra in Dreamgirls.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve has many.
I had a little background thing I did for a few weeks when I was living in L.A., framing houses and background acting.
Oh, that's really
cool. There's actually
a plethora of shows and movies.
Of course, a plethora.
His whole face was on Dreamgirls. It was just his face.
Oh, that's amazing.
For about a half a second, but we were like, we were clapping, we were cheering.
You have to watch almost the entire movie to catch it.
It's
like the last 20 minutes of the movie.
He's right there.
They pan on my face.
So now, so when you do appearances at places or if you do talk shows or whatever, it should say, you know, Steve Ford, Restored by the Fords, comma, Dream Girls. Like, that should, that has to be in your credit now. There's...
Yeah, the best one was when you were in Mysteries of Pittsburgh, and there's, like, a scene there in a club, and Steve's 6'5", right? So... Steve, they, the scene goes and, like, the lady's talking. It's Sienna Miller, right? Mm-hmm. And Steve's just bopping behind her. Like, oh, next shot, he's over here jumping. Next shot, he's over
there's
here.
There's a mosh pit. I actually stepped on her foot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Steve made
she
sure to be
really
moshing.
She was really upset with me.
He made sure to be moshing directly behind
yeah,
Sienna
Miller. I stepped on poor little Sienna's foot.
That'd be really funny. So if she watches your show and just gets this uneasy feeling and doesn't understand why.
I don't like that guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. He almost pulled my foot. Was wrong. He almost totally pulled my foot. Yeah. But it's fine that you were able to come on and make peace and, like, you know, and be able to address this finally after all these years. But it, but this idea of, like, moving with life is it is a time tested, you know, like, all of the best philosophies and spiritual, like, they all say the same thing. But God damn it, it's so hard to do it sometimes.
Well, and know that you're going to fail, you know, and I think. Why is failure such a, like, a dirty word to people? I don't understand why we are so bent on I can't fail. Because I always, like, my favorite quote is Einstein, and he said, the fear of failure kills creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to tell people that because you look at it, you're not going to be a creative being without trying things. You know, like, you can only get as far as somebody else has tried. So if you want to keep moving forward and pushing it, for us, it's in design, you know, if you want to try new things, you have to be down to mess up.
Right.
And, like, you make yourself nervous. I mean, I'd say I have never, we've never done a project where there wasn't a point when I was like, oh no, what should we do? You know, the light comes and it's so massive. I'm like, oh, we ordered the wrong. And then we put it up and I'm like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're ripping this wall out. We're so, you know, and those always turn out to be the best things.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, it's if you end the story at the failure part, then that was that story. But if you're able to move the end of the story farther, it's like, well, that was just a part of
the gateway to the next
path. Yeah, exactly.
It really was a tool. It opened the door to, you know, what you are meant to be doing.
Well, it sounds like you have the right mindset. You have the best, healthiest mindset for the entertainment business because it can, it's very alluring. It very much, you know, like, feeds ego and all of the bad parts of the brain and the bad parts of humanity, the wanting more, the being defined by what you do and not who you are, like, all that shit. And so being able to, like, well, you know, if we didn't do this anymore, we'd still be fine. Like, that is the best, healthiest place to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to end. We're not going to be on TV forever. You know, we're, I told him, I was like, I was in interior design before this show and I will be after, you know, until I become a songwriter. But, you know, like, it's like, we're just enjoying it as it comes. And I think it's been this incredible tool and helped us talk to more people. And I love that it inspires people, but I'm sure it's temporary. You know, and that's good. That's okay. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, of course. And again, the nature of life is temporary.
Yeah.
And they're even, like, you know, there's research now that suggests, like, oh, our brains have a protective coating in them that keeps us from thinking too much about our own death, which of course is imminent.
Right.
That we shield ourselves where it's like it happens to other people and there's still a little part of our brain that's like, oh, but that's other people. And it's like everything we do is all temporary.
Right, which is actually, it sounds morbid, but it's very freeing.
Of course it is.
You know, it's actually a great way to think is kind of the whole keep it loose, right? It is if you kind of relax and enjoy it as it comes, it makes things much happier.
Yeah, because it's, you know, obviously good things and bad things are going to happen, you know, like everyone's going to get bad news at some point in their life. And so if you, and I say, I'm not saying I'm good at this, but if you can either stress about it the whole time and you'll still get the bad news.
Yeah.
Or you can not, and you know,
well,
and then not be miserable for that length of time.
Well, I mean, we're only going to die one way.
Right.
But if you're worried about all the ways you're going to die, you're going to die 100 ways.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, we're very creative beings in that way too. Like, we're like, sometimes, you know, your brain can get too creative and you think of all these things, but you don't have to worry about those.
That's so funny because it's making me think that, you know, I'm sure there are people who are like, hypochondriacs, which, you know, maybe it's points in my life, I, you know, but it's, if someone's like, I don't know, I'm not creative, but I have this weird mole, and yeah, it could be this, 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 yeah, it's like, no, you're a great storyteller.
You're like, genius.
You're just telling yourself bad stories.
Oh my gosh, totally. Yeah, so what if you just turn it to a good story?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, think of all the good things that could happen to you.
Right.
People don't think they're going to win the lottery, but they do think they're going to be in a plane crash.
Well, yes, because it... You know, again, I think part of that is that it's a survival, like it's that sort of amygdala survival thing where it's, if I picture the worst case scenario, I am preparing for it, which of course is not, I mean, it's not, yeah, entirely, you can't really, so much you can only prepare for. So we don't prepare ourselves for good scenarios because in our minds it's like, oh, well, that'll just be, then everything will be easy and fun.
True.
But the truth is, like you're sort of, we were talking about in the beginning, when good things happen, like you get a show,
yeah,
there are a lot of things that aren't just like, we're just cruising now, you know,
right?
Like, yeah,
it's just another, yeah, it's just another can of worms.
Yeah,
it really is, and it's a really lovely, lucky can of worms that we're having and we're in, but like, it's still a job, you know. At the end of the day, we're still working.
Yeah.
It's, like, but also find a job you like, and then it's a little bit more fun.
I would rather win the lottery, personally.
Actually, I have my favorite mug, which I, like, I don't like junk, and I have my one junk mug that says, I'm only here till I win the lottery.
But then you'd still have to do something.
Every time I, like, drink it, I'm like, it's so true. I'm only here till I win the lottery.
Yeah, but no, but lottery winners aren't even, like...
I know.
They get super messed up because it just totally...
That's the thing, though. I would still do similar things to what I do now if I won the lottery. But I would just do them in a more casual way.
I don't think if you could get more casual, Steve.
I would sleep a lot more.
That's so funny. I like that there's like, out there, there's a casual Steve.
Yes. Like, he's lounging right now. He's like, I would do them in a more casual way.
He's got one hand, like just one hand in a pocket. You know, but like a hammer, maybe.
He takes out a cigar.
Yeah. 20 minutes. So, yeah.
Casual.
Steve's next book is called Casual Way.
Yeah, the casual ways of
casual way with Steve.
And then Casual Steve. Just think about Casual Steve.
Yeah, we take naps every, you know, 3 hours.
You're like, we get here, we're good.
We're good. Yeah, we'll get this later.
Oh my gosh.
You're just sleeping on just a beanbag of $100 bills.
It's funny. Sleeping is the most important thing to the Ford family. I'm realizing that's like our common theme to life. We love sleep.
Oh, you're so lucky.
If you sleep more, everything else is better.
That you're absolutely right. And I can't sleep more than like 3 or 4 hours at a time.
What?
Really? Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know.
So you have to think the rest of that time?
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah.
It's a lot of thinking.
Yeah, every time my eyes pop open, it's usually sometime between 2:45 and 4 in the morning.
No.
And I wake up and I go, don't look at the clock. You know what time it's going to be. And I see like 3:12. I'm like, damn it. You know, and then you're just up.
And you get up.
And then what? And then you do all this stuff that you've been doing.
I know, then you have 17 careers.
This is why. All right.
I get up and I go in the guest room because I fidget too much and Lydia's a light sleeper. So I go in the guest room. I'll put on like a Twilight Zone. I'll just kind of sit there.
Which helps you sleep less.
It does. No, it helps me sleep. Nope, because I watched it when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
So it just like...
You're like, creepy.
Yeah.
It's
Do you remember the one where he could only move his pinky?
The Twilight Zone? No. Which episode of the Twilight Zone is that? He can only move his pinky?
Twilight Zone. They thought he was dead. He could only move his pinky.
Oh, God. That's a nightmare. That is a nightmare.
I'm getting disturbed thinking about it. Wait, the Twilight Zone. Yeah.
I gotta look that up. I feel like I've seen every episode of the Twilight Zone, and I don't remember one where he can only move his pinky.
But what were the other Alfred Hitchcock?
There was Alfred Hitchcock Presents. There was Outer Limits. There was Rod Serling Did Night Gallery in the 70s.
Whichever one it is, I'm still disturbed by it.
It is very, very, very,
just
very,
Google
very,
can't move.
Can't move pinky. Can only move pinky. Twilight Zone, Outer Limits.
If you ever go into a coma land, I'll check your pinky.
Thank you, Steve.
Wait a minute.
I'm right here.
She passed the pinky test.
She's still bossing us around with her pinky.
I'm like, move that light. I'm like, dim the light.
So yours is Casual Steve, and your book is Boss Pinky.
It's a Saturday Night Live skit. They're like, don't look at her picking.
Oh my god, they would build an 8-minute sketch around that.
It's like a reference to Boss Baby.
What exactly? Alec Baldwin's got the voice of the pinky.
Oh my gosh, we have so many. I always write them down. So many Saturday Night Live ideas from HGTV, like from our show.
Oh gosh,
I'm like, there's so much good content. It's so weird.
You should just do a side. You should just do a sketch show on the side. You know? Why not?
I know. Add it to our list.
Mm-hmm. Add it to the list of stuff you're going to do.
We're like, we need you. We'll do it.
Oh, my God. Anytime, you know, first of all, I was a fan of your show. Now I'm a fan of you as people. So
you're like, more? You like us more or less after this?
Way more. Because, I mean, I got a sense of you on the show, and I always felt like, oh, they seem really cool. You never know, you know, like, television, it can be very crafted. But, you know, the other people I know, like, I love Drew and Jonathan. They are legitimately sweethearts. But, you know, like, they're, you know, any docuseries on television, you still never know. It's still, like, a crafted, you know, thing. But you are, like, exponentially cooler than I even thought you were.
Oh, thank you.
So I just appreciate it. I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate your philosophy, and I hope people get the book. And, you know, I look forward to the next... So when are there new episodes soon of the show?
TBD. TBD, but...
Are we allowed to talk about it?
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it, but we're around, I'll say that.
Okay, good, good, good. And you're doing this show about the...
Yeah, The Rock of the Block's out right now, so... And that's been pretty fun. And we did the Brady Bunch thing.
Yeah, you did the Brady Bunch house thing, too.
And that was incredible. So, all kinds of stuff.
Ah,
we're not going anywhere yet.
Good, good, good. And then any sort of parting words of... like, what are you excited about in your own lives? You're building furniture, you're restoring motorcycles. Is that like
personal projects? Trying to get some personal projects done.
Yeah,
a little me time right now.
Yeah, what about you?
I love me time. I got stuff going on which I am so excited to talk about, but I can't yet.
Oh,
I know. I'm sorry. I'll call you back. Give me a month or two.
But also, you know, like it's. I'm sure having a baby has probably been
the best thing. The best. She's so chill.
That's good.
She's such an easy baby.
Well, she's chill because you're chill.
I'm so glad because we just hang around and smile at each other, giggle.
I gotta get more chill before we have kids.
Yes, you do. they read off your energy.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, of course. They just like
is
a sponge.
Lydia chill?
She's chill.
Then you're good.
Yeah, Lydia's totally chill. But it's also, you know, just not being so like, oh, they fell down. Is the baby okay? You know,
what
like,
I learned, honestly, probably years ago before babies were even in my realm, my friend was like, I don't know why my baby whines all the time. And I remember looking at her like, I do. It was the best parenting lesson I've ever seen. Like, my baby's so stressed. And I loved it. I was like, all right, noted. And it was the best advice anyone ever gave me.
Did you point it out or did you?
I giggled.
You just giggled.
I like literally laughed. And then she's like, oh. I didn't even have to say anything. She's like, oh my gosh, you're right.
Why does my baby check every mole on its body and think it needs to go to the emergency room? I don't know. Kids are weird. I don't know where they get this stuff from. Is something wrong with me? This kid's like, wait, is there something wrong with me?
Yeah, right? Like when little Ever falls, she'll hit her head and she'll look at me and I'm like, whoa, you're so good. She's like, I'm so good.
Oh, that's great.
You know, as opposed to like, oh no.
Yeah, because if you do that, then they get conditioned to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, I get attention.
Yeah.
This is how I'm supposed to.
Yeah, it's funny. We're all a little like mind games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Congratulations on the book. And anytime you want to come back.
Yeah, we want to come back.
Please.
Tomorrow?
Please come back tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, the danger is I just don't want to bore the shit out of like just talking to you about all the renovation stuff that we're doing. And
no, we can do
what
it.
What do you want
to
talk about?
We just
let's talk about you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, no one's ever. This is unprecedented.
I don't know. We're like, all right, second hour
of the show. We're going to talk about
how do you feel?
We're going to talk about moldings,
moldings, babies, and crying in your renovation.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing is that like when we first started doing this house, I started doing some stuff, and then after a while, I was like, no, because I didn't want to. I thought it would be too much to go through and strip off all the paint. There were just thick layers of paint on all the wood. I'm like, well, just faux wood. And then afterwards, just scrape it off.
I know. Yeah. I know. But you got to learn the hard way a lot of times. Steve's like that. He's so good about let's do it the right way now. And I'm like, but let's try a solution, you know, but most of the time, okay, not most of the time. Some of the time, my hearing this down. Right?
Yeah, but some.
I'm glad you recording. Talked over when I said my solution was dumb, so that's good.
He heard you.
just taking it.
I'm like, you started talking too early. You missed my second compliment.
But you can't. But sometimes you just don't know until you see it. And I guess when you are an experienced designer, as you are, you get better at kind of going I feel like I know how this is gonna. So maybe let's take.
But you also have done a version of it in a different house.
I'm like, so, I've done this 10 times already. I know it's not going to work.
Yeah. Right. Well, but then it works. So that's it.
So you
that's what we learned to do about that after the 10th time.
I always Steve's the MacGyver of, Steve's the MacGyver of design, construction.
Oh, good.
Anytime I say, can we do this? He says no. He's really adamantly says no. And it makes me mad and sad and all emotion, but then I know the next day he'll come in and I'll be like, okay, so this is how we're gonna do it.
There's a lot of times every day, on board. Yes. Once in a while you get a no, but then you get yes the next day because you're you.
There's not a lot of times you say yes. You mainly say no into yes.
You're able to sort of craft and take a no.
I just have to wait.
Yep.
Which is that's the way. He needs to come up with it on his own.
Yeah, you're right, Leanne.
See, it's working right now.
We have had a plethora of fun times.
We're the psychology going on here is... there's a plethora of psychology.
What we have to do is next time we come on, we have to rehearse and sing My Little Buttercup.
Has the sweetest...
Smile.
Dear little buttercup,
won't you stay a while?
Come with me where moonbeams paint the sky, and you and I might linger in the sweet by and by. So,
dear
little buttercup, with your eyes so blue.
Sweet
little buttercup, you're a dream come true. This is right now they're dancing in the saloon, right? My little buttercup, I love you. That's gonna be for the outtakes.
There's no better way to end the podcast than
don't
that.
Make people listen to that.
That is definitely staying in 100%.
The end.
Normally, if someone's I lost my train of thought. Can you take that out? I'll go, sure. This is 100% staying
in. My train of thought there.
No, we'll find it for you. It's totally fine.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that was amazing.
To Ned.
Thank you. Good night, Ned. Ned Niederlander.
Good night, Ned. That's our end.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.